Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. We have a new website, a community, and the world is listening, so please join and interact. Today's topic is, should you outsource your enterprise mobility? And our guests for today's show are Oliver Bussman, who's the Chief Information Officer with SAP. Good morning, Oliver.
Good morning. Hi, how are you?
Very good. So where are you in Europe? We tracked you.
I'm right now in Waldorf. It's close to Heidelberg, south of Frankfurt. It's snowing. It's pretty cold out here. So I'm really looking forward to this call today.
Beautiful. We also have Eugene Signorini, who's the Vice President for Yankees Group Anywhere Enterprise Research Group. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning, Sanjog. Thanks for having me on the program.
Great. So how much cold are you experiencing? Because we could beat Oliver to what he's experiencing there. I'm in Chicago, so, hey, we are all getting much better cold.
Yeah, well, we're here in Boston, and it's about 15. It was 15 degrees this morning, so I'm just glad to be inside finally. So.
All right. So the topic that we picked up today, and, you know, enterprise mobility is not new. And mobility concept is being embraced by many organizations. But then initially it was more a cool thing to be given to the senior executives so that they can go about, be more productive and more connected with the organization. Now we want it to be pervasive. We want everyone to get any device which can hold an application. So any information on any device anywhere is what we are trying to achieve. So now that's what we are calling as enterprise mobility. Now, if you reach to this level where you want this to totally transform the way your infrastructure used to work or how it was handled, how is that impacting, or what kind of challenges are they introducing? Oliver.
Yeah, I think it's a fascinating topic from my point of view, the whole enterprise mobility. And it really kicks off beginning of the year with Apple going into the marketplace, introducing a first device, the tablet, the iPad, which I think is really also ready as a business tool for the enterprise business. And so we already saw this coming with the announcement that it's perfect from a size, from a setup also to put our own software on that. And me as a CIO, we decided to go into that, and the first challenge is always to setting up the infrastructure, make the device ready from a management and security point of view, and then thinking about what kind of apps could be available here to our end users. And definitely beside the office productivity over email, access to the corporate environment over VPN and Citrix, I think the major focus that we had in providing the iPads to our own development organization, because we want to develop beautiful mobile apps, is enabling our mobile workforce, the sales and marketing organization, to carry those iPads to customers in meetings to make sure that accessing information everywhere is possible. So those are really our focus at the few months, the beginning of the year, and now we are reaching over 1,000, 2,000 iPads already in our environment, growing rapidly, almost 200 to 500 devices per month, and it's already a well-accepted business tool within SAP.
So one is to buy a cool tool, and iPad definitely has a cool factor, and everybody loves it. So they must be loving you for giving them one. But then what responsibility comes with that gift that you're giving them?
No, I think the first responsibility is looking at the challenge. You have three challenges there at the end. Is number one, to set up the infrastructure to manage your mobile devices. And I'm not only talking about the iPad, because our strategy is to be device agnostic. There will be more devices coming up, like the RIM Playbook or the Samsung Galaxy, that have the capability to fulfill certain use case scenarios. That means device lifecycle management is important. Second is always a critical topic as a challenge is making sure that your security requirements are fulfilled and bring those devices into the enterprise environment. And third is setting up a strategy and then also a mobile platform to enable going forward supporting multiple devices, connecting those devices to different backend systems at the end to have new application scenarios that we don't see today because those devices bring functionality that defines new use cases going forward.
Gene, now in your world, as you see that a lot of organizations are moving into that direction, do you see some doing it the right way versus the wrong way? And is there a way to define what's the right or wrong way to enterprise to adopting enterprise mobility?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, I think there is no right or wrong way, and there isn't, you know, a universal approach that companies have taken to establish best practices. I think to, you know, Oliver's point, I mean, he talked about the iPad, right? And I think one of the critical issues that we've seen is this concept of consumerization of enterprise technology, but particularly in the area of mobility, right? And that's really where it's impacted things, where, you know, the devices that are first and foremost targeted or created for that kind of consumer mass market are what we're seeing, you know, as the most innovative technologies and we may want to take advantage of within our enterprise. But at the same time, it's also because individuals are buying these devices on their own and then wanting to use them, bring them in. And so, you know, what is created is a completely new computing paradigm, right, from our, you know, the traditional kind of PC computing paradigm that we've been living in for the last, you know, 20 years. And so, you know, and the reason is because, as you know, Oliver described, we've got kind of multiple different operating systems and multiple different form factors. We have different types of connectivity, right? We're no longer talking about kind of, you know, fixed connectivity. You know, we're talking about mobile connectivity, in many cases, a variety of different kinds of mobile and wireless connectivity. And so we've gone from a fairly monolithic environment, which was the PC computing environment, to a, you know, extremely fragmented mobile computing environment. And so that requires is a very different approach, right? It's going to require a significant mindset shift, much as we kind of, you know, as you know, enterprise computing has shifted over time from things like mainframe computing to client-server computing to personal computing and now to mobile computing. And at every stage, there's going to be a different approach. And so, you know, I think, you know, as Oliver stated, you know, the first things first is to understand what are the things we need to do from a central control standpoint, right, to put in, you know, platforms and infrastructure which will allow us to kind of support and manage this, but at the same time to take advantage of the diversity of technologies and the options that are available to us. So it's kind of a balancing act for most companies when it comes down to the right approach for mobility.
Now, Oliver, if you had to do anything different when you started versus what you're seeing now, because I'm sure you're at it for a little bit, would you have started any differently?
You know, we were pretty hands-on because our goal was to make the first tablet device, the iPad, available to our users in May this year, and we put a lot of effort in enabling to, from a system management point of view, a security point of view. If I had the chance to restart, I would spend more time on device lifecycle management systems. Because we started with enabling our devices over Microsoft ActiveSync. There are tools out there, and with the acquisition of Sybase, there is a really leading tool, the Sybase Afaria, that you can manage iPhones, iPads, and other devices from a provisioning, from a management, and also from a decommissioning very easily. Because, again, outside the RIM, the BlackBerry, the existing or the new devices are not coming automatically with system management tools. So spending enough time at the beginning to think about what's your device management approach, picking a tool to start with, because it helps you also to make sure that you have one central place to applying security policy, patches, deploying application, removing devices. Those are the questions that you have to ask yourself going into that business, because it will not only be one device. this mobile business, the mobile device business, is a fast-growing, fast-changing business. And with devices, there are coming new apps and content up, and this will drive also user selection and behavior. So what I would do, really spending more time on the device lifecycle management tools, which we are now doing in implementing the Cyber Safari tools, that's my recommendation to my peers.
So, Gene, when you are looking at multiple organizations starting out with this mobility endeavor, do they truly sit down and plan and come up with some specific objectives and priorities? Or is it something, let's start slow, let's see how it morphs into something bigger, and then we'll figure it out?
Yeah, I think we're at kind of a turning point right now when it comes to, companies thinking about mobility. And it's hard to kind of, paint a general and a broad brush here, because every company is different. There are some that are, much more strategic and innovative, and there are some laggards. But, generally speaking, right, what we've seen over the last, five and even longer than that, five, maybe 8 years, is companies kind of taking on mobility initiatives, what I would say, opportunistically. I think you alluded to this at the very beginning, Sanjog, which is, it used to be, mobility resided in kind of very specific silos or pockets within organizations, right? And, years ago, it started out with kind of field service environments, field force environments, where that was the only place mobility was happening, or in things like public safety, right, in the government sector. But then it expanded first and foremost to that, executive, the executive suite, right, Mahogany Row, for things like BlackBerry, right, and mobile email. And it was really done kind of opportunistically, and companies said, okay, we'll do this because our executives demand it. And then all of a sudden it's kind of, slowly expanded to other roles within the organization. And in the last, 12 to 18 months, it's exploded because of this issue of consumerization, right? Now, individuals have bought their own smartphones and devices, and they want to use these things. And we've seen a tremendous amount of innovation on the technology side. And so we've kind of seen this explosion. So, companies really didn't have the time to sit down and plan strategically how they're going to deal with it, right? So they've kind of been faced with this kind of massive wave of mobility now within their organizations. Mm-hmm. So now companies have said, all right, now this is upon us. Now we have to get our act together and really start thinking more, from a tactical standpoint, how do we deal with the reality that is, mobile devices within an organization? So it's probably first, very kind of tactical approach in terms of management. And then the second step is, all right, now how do we really think about these technologies, providing us a strategic advantage in an organization? How do we take advantage of this? So that's kind of the transition, generally speaking, where we are, right? It's how do we get it under control, and then how do we really take advantage of it and think about mobility as the new set of innovative technologies that's going to help us, drive our business forward.
Now, follow-up question for you, Oliver. If you had to, when you actually got started with this, did you put some specific qualitative and quantitative priorities and objectives for your initiative and then got started, or was this more of a pilot, and then once you saw it's taking on properly, and then, you formalized it?
But yeah, I think
let's hold that. Oliver, hold that thought. Let's take a quick break, and let's come back and then continue with this conversation.
Sure.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Dialogue is the single most powerful leadership tool we have to make a difference in the world. Leading Conversations with host Cheryl Esposito creates a place for that dialogue. Tune into the Voice America Business Channel every Friday as Cheryl hosts new conversations among leaders from around the world in business, government, art, economics, and social change. We'll explore big ideas and everyday actions and learn how their own leadership has led them to discover a newfound sense of possibility in the world. Leading Conversations with Cheryl Esposito, bringing big thinkers together in conversations that make a difference, right here on the Voice America Business Channel, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
The Sports Mavericks Show redefines the elite athlete by bridging the gap between parents, athletes, and the community. Host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, brings to the Voice America Network original programming, balancing the pursuit of academic excellence and sports participation. The Sports Mavericks Show airs every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Listeners will be engaged in straightforward talk, spontaneous and unscripted, by the experts. Ida and her guests will explore the challenges of success and failure in sports and will help athletes and their parents navigate the transition from high school, college, and then on to the pros. We put fun back into sports and recognize role models in sports through our Sports Mavericks All-Star Award program. Tune in Tuesday evenings at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Ida Moyer and the Sports Mavericks Show right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So, Oliver, we were to discuss about potential qualitative and quantitative priorities and objectives that you may have thought of as you got started, or perhaps later in that process. And what were those, and how close did you come to what they should have been, now that you look at hindsight as 2020?
You know, be part of a high-tech company, we are facing maybe different challenges, because we believe that the mobile business will reach us to over 1 billion SAP users. That means in providing mobile apps to our customers and also their customers, I think we are a strong believer that the mobile business will change the way how we operate. And therefore, enabling our user communities, that means the development communities in developing mobile apps, and then also our corporate function and sales and marketing function to enable them with devices and embrace the mobile mindset. Because there are a lot of opportunities out there that you have to think about how to use the device, and with doing that, you figure out that there may be there are new use cases out there that we don't think about. So our challenge was at the beginning to make sure that the development organization can utilize the iPad in running that. The second thought is, because the device enables us to access to business information everywhere, real time, our focus was, beside the office and access functionality, to provide access to our business intelligent dashboard environment. So, because we had such an environment already available for desktops and laptops, we have a mobile app called Business Explorer. Having access to that environment and exploring dashboards on the iPads and other devices was the next key step in providing business value and having access to our reports, financial reports, asset information, etc., through the device everywhere in the organization. If you travel and you have access to that, that was a big step, first big step, in a quick win to provide business value to our users.
So based on what Oliver just shared, so Gene, is this very typical of how an organization evolves as part of how they set their objectives and criteria, et cetera?
Yeah, As I said, I don't think there's been a typical approach, right? Because we're talking about it's still a very kind of new and emerging, you know, area for most companies. I mean, if we look at traditional, what I would call quote-unquote more traditional mobile applications that have been targeted at more kind of field users, right? Either those are field service technicians or salespeople, right? In those cases, there are kind of more measurable potential benefits, right? Improvements to the business process. And I think the best way to start, and where we've seen companies really being successful, is to understand, well, what are the key performance indicators, right, that we already use within our business, right? Is it, increasing, one site or one call resolution for our field workers? Is it reducing the amount of truck rolls, right? And, you know, is it increasing the number of site visits per day? From a sales perspective, is it, again, increasing the number of customers visited on a per-day basis? Is it capturing information, from customers into a CRM system so we can, you know, have better visibility into pipeline and marketing information? Is it actually closing, you know, deals? And so, you know, if you start with those, what are the most important key performance indicators in our business, we can begin to build and say, okay, well, what do we need to do from a mobility standpoint, right? How do we design solutions to kind of address those particular issues? And I think that's where companies have been successful. So we move beyond that, and I think the big challenge is we move beyond kind of those field workers. We've moved to knowledge workers, which is really where we're seeing a huge push right now from a mobility standpoint. You know, this entire concept of consumerization, are these knowledge workers bringing in devices and wanting to have access to, you know, first and foremost email, but many other resources within the organization, that becomes much more difficult to measure. And we really haven't seen kind of a lot of kind of, you know, standard success stories about how we really measure that. And one interesting thing that we did, this year is we have a survey that we run called our Enterprise Mobility Empowered Employee Survey. And essentially, we do is survey thousands of mobile professionals, mobile workers themselves, instead of decision makers like Oliver. And we asked, one of the questions we asked, we said, you know, how productive do you feel in a variety of different environments, such as your business office, your home office, customer offices, hotels, you know, all the way down to things like airports and airplanes. And we asked each of these users to kind of, or each of the respondents to kind of rank what they felt their productivity was on a scale of 0 to 100. So, for example, you know, on average, people felt about 77%, 77 out of 100, you know, productive in a business office environment. So not even, you know, full productivity while they're in a business office environment. And that, you know, went down to about 41% in a home office, all the way down to about 10% in an airport, for example. So we asked that. That's kind of on average. Later on in the survey, we asked a question which said, you know, what devices do you use? So do you have a tablet? Do you have a smartphone? Do you have a laptop? And who provided them to you? Was it your, did you buy it yourself, or was it employer supplied? And so what we wound up doing is saying, okay, well, let's take that first question we asked about productivity, and let's just isolate folks who were given a tablet, for example, by their employer. And what we found is those people who were given a tablet by an employer, for example, there was, on average, in all these different mobile locations, on average, more than 30% improvement in self-reported productivity. From a smartphone standpoint, you know, very similar, kind of in the high teens to kind of low 20s, percent improvement in productivity or perceived improvement in productivity. And what's important to note is we didn't load this question. So we didn't say, does a tablet make you more productive or does the smartphone make you more productive? We asked the productivity, you know, question completely independently. We just said, how, you know, productive do you feel? And then we just looked at those people who had smartphones and tablets. So, you know, that's one way to kind of think about it, right? And some of the research we've started to do to really try to identify is, you know, can users become more productive when they're given mobile tools? And at least some of the empirical evidence that we've seen, at least this year, shows, yes, they can be more productive.
So, Oliver, in your world, if you see what you have put together so far, do you think your behavior, the behavior of the people that are using it, is that adopting or is it changing to what you wanted it to be? Or is there some set of policies or some specific enforcement that you had to do or some kind of compliance framework that you put in place for you to make that happen?
No, I think we see already benefits coming through because, as I mentioned before, our adaption strategy is enabling plus moving from simple application from a dashboards analytics into more complex workflow driven, and we are going into that direction right now. And you can phrase it like mobility 1.0 and extending your existing enterprise backend systems into mobility 2.0 if you're meshing up this the different applications to new scenarios and workflows. And what we see is because the devices are always on, the ability to make decision at the right time and do faster decision are really coming through. Plus, what we also see is that the communication behaviors of our users has changed because I have information at the fingertip available, and because those devices, mobile devices, also combine several steps that I would have to do on the laptop, like reading, accessing information in an easy way, and then also sharing information through email or social media, because those functions are well integrated with those devices. I'm much easier to access to information and share views and information with my peers, my communities, etc. So that's definitely that we can see already coming through. And then also me as an executive, I would say without my tablet, I would have a hard time to, or let's say with the tablet, I definitely changed the way how I operate and communicate.
So, Gene, would
Sanjay, I just want to follow up on a couple of points because I think Oliver's, you know, dead on with, you know, his observations here. And you know, when you talk about, you know, what's been successful in terms of mobile applications, I think to Oliver's point, it's really about thinking about, as I think he characterized, kind of this mobile 2.0, which is it's not about recreating what we've done in a PC environment, right? I talked earlier about this kind of, you know, change, a shift in a computing paradigm. It's about rethinking what applications should look like and be like on a mobile device, right? And the applications themselves become new applications, and we'll combine information and different types of information from multiple different sources. And I call that kind of designing mobile applications from the outside in rather than the inside out, right? If mobile 1.0 is, you know, inside out, saying let's take what we have and kind of extend it to mobile devices, this kind of mobile 2.0 is saying, you know, let's design applications from the outside in. I think the other point here is, and Oliver alluded to this a bit, which is, you know, once you're really in a mobile environment, it's about being able to act on the information that you have access to, right? Because obviously if information is important enough or critical enough for us to need it in a mobile environment, it's probably critical enough that we're going to need to act on it. Because otherwise we can just wait till we're back in the office or wait till we're connected to kind of take a look at whatever we need to see. And so the action, being able to take action on that information is what's critically important. And in many cases, when we talk about taking action, it's about communicating with someone or something. And so, you know, I always talk about, you know, smartphones becoming, you know, very, very important or very powerful computing devices, but at their heart, they're communication devices. And so when we think about mobile applications, we have to think about them being kind of communication-enabled applications.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and speak a little bit about the ability for a mobile device or the very enterprise mobility to be successful and how much of that is hinging on the wireless carrier that we choose. Because as we said, it's a communication device. And given that that whole communication wireless carrier industry is in a lot of transition, a lot of changes happen all the time, can we assure everybody that we will have a predictability in our delivery. Stay tuned. Right back.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Wielding power, shaping environments and outcomes, and making things happen are all essential characteristics of great leaders. Yet these qualities alone are not enough to ensure your success. In a complex world, how do you decide what's most important to you? In your career, your relationships, your finances, your family, in the world around you, in the whole of your life at large? Dr. Joseph Riggio, the host of Leadership Intuition, says that personal leadership, the desire to take charge of your life, is the key to creating futures that work and building a life worth living. Join Joseph as he reveals the power of uncovering and living your own personal mythology, the key to personal transformation, exquisite performance, and social influence. Learn to look inside and discover your personal mythology and unique leadership style. Go beyond conventional advice and discover your unique success blueprint on Leadership Intuitions with Dr. Joseph Riggio each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on the Voice America channel. Leadership Intuitions, power, achievement, relationships.
Zoom Leadership. It's the big picture issues of the day, up close and personal capabilities of leadership, and a desirable future of constant renewal.
Zoom Leadership.
It's the economic crisis made clear, patterns and perspectives of leadership, and the importance of changing the way we pursue our future. Join host John Schmidt every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time.
Zoom Leadership.
An inside look at what's really going on in business, government, and civil society. Tune in every week on the Voice America Business Channel.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.evol.com today. Evol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Evol delivers. To find out how Evol can help your company, visit www.evol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Evol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.evol, A-V-V-A-L, evol.com. Visit today.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So we have spoken about mobility and its advantages and how we are even getting that in place. So all well and good. However, it kind of hinges on the quality and availability of the wireless connection or the wireless carriers that are available for communication. Now, that whole industry itself is in turbulence and or is changing, going through a continuous change, and you do not control it as an organization. So what do you do in that area so that you do not just build a great looking ship, but there's no water to sail it on? Gene.
Yeah, I think the reality is, as you kind of stated, Sanjo, which is, we're in a time of tremendous change and shift in technology, right? Particularly on the network side, right? We're, kind of shifting now from, the 3G world to rapidly to a 4G environment. We always talk about this concept here at Yankee Group of ubiquitous connectivity, right? And our vision is ultimately everything is connected, right? And you have some sort of ubiquitous connectivity, everywhere, right? Which is the foundation for mobility and enterprise mobility. But the other thing I would say is that, you may have ubiquitous connectivity, but you will never have uniform connectivity, at least not in the near term. So you're dealing with, a variety of different types of network technologies, right? Whether that's kind of cellular and different kind of flavors and speeds and throughputs of cellular from, 2G to 3G to 4G, or you can be dealing with Wi-Fi, and you can be dealing with fixed connectivity. So I think the reality is when you're building applications, you're building mobile solutions, is to understand that your application may have to perform differently in different environments. And it comes back now to, what role the carrier will play. Well, the carriers, right, the wireless carriers are playing an increasingly larger role in terms of mobile solutions. And we've always talked about, do they become kind of dumb pipes? Are they just a network provider? But the reality is, as mobile solutions become more critical, mission critical for your business, you have to have a tighter relationship with operators, particularly on the application front, understanding how the network will perform and what kind of advances in network, you know, what build-outs and what the technology will mean for different applications. And we've certainly seen, I think, operators become more sophisticated, a little bit more sophisticated at least, in understanding that it's not just about connectivity, it's about the solutions that also reside on the network, and kind of building partnerships and relationships with, you know, a multitude of other ecosystem players that really have to come together to build solutions. So it's really what it's about is identifying kind of carriers as a partner, but also who have good partnerships, you know, outside of the network space.
So Oliver, do you think when you are going out, you know, all the way in terms of enterprise mobility adoption, and you know that your relationship with wireless carrier and the very basis is going to be shaky, what is that you're promising to your big bosses there?
Yeah, I think absolutely it's multidimensional. As Gene mentioned, is that you have to look, if you look at the enterprise mobility business, it's not a standalone app. You always now the most of the scenarios are you have connectivity to your backend system. So if you come up with mobile apps, you have to think about that you need a high-performing backend system to make sure that there is no usability issues on the user and the front-end side. I think that's important to look at this end-to-end and also keep in mind, moving to the carrier topic, that you pick and choose the right carrier with the right coverage and also the bandwidth and also the stability, because the user experience is always the most important one, that you have a fast, stable, high-performing app running, because if not, then people will move on to different devices or different technology. The last topic that I want to stress is if you go for really a massive build-out or expanding your user side, and you are doing this, don't forget to invest in your Wi-Fi and your wireless LAN infrastructure. Because if you have devices with the option to also perform your corporate environment, the Wi-Fi network, the hotspots inside your buildings are becoming a bottleneck. So we are ramping up, we're spending significant money and investments in ramping up our Wi-Fi infrastructure in our office buildings.
So based on what you guys have spoken in terms of the challenges that people may have, and yes, it doesn't look like that big of a challenge, but in some cases it could create bottlenecks. Why even take the headache? Why not outsource, Gene?
Well, I think outsourcing is actually a very viable approach to kind of managing mobility. I mean, the way I think about it is, you have your solution that you may want to implement, but there are so many areas of kind of mobility management that you have to take into consideration. And so, the way we kind of look at it here, there are kind of five buckets of mobility management. One would be telecom expense management. So how do we make sure that, we're doing things cost effectively, right? We have users on the right plan, who are we're monitoring that on an active basis. There are things like connectivity management. It kind of goes back to our last discussion, or just previous discussion, which is who are the right carriers for us in the right geographies? How are we managing those relationships, right? How are we effectively managing those relationships? The other is mobile device management, which Oliver talked a lot about earlier, right? How are we, managing those devices? How are we onboarding them, right? How do we maintaining inventory, right? How do we make sure we have, connection to those devices to be able to control that? Related to that is another aspect, which is security management, right? How are we enforcing the right security policies down to these devices? And finally, there's this piece, which is application management, right? How do we design, develop, deploy applications to these devices and to these users? And so there are multiple elements, and I think what companies need to do is think about, okay, here are the five elements, right? Do I have capabilities to address these? Am I doing things about these today? And if not, probably the best place to start is thinking about getting some outside help. Because I think one of the points here is that there really aren't centers of excellence around mobility in most organizations today, right? Mobility affects a variety of different environments within the organization, whether it's IT, whether it's the application development group, or you know, IT help desk, is, you know, or application development, or security, or procurement, right, which is where a lot of, you know, mobile devices have been kind of brought through the organization. A lot of different kind of constituents. So there's a center of excellence for mobility. And so, that, you know, in many cases, there's greenfield opportunity. So outsourcing, I think, becomes a potentially viable, you know, approach, at least a beginning approach, to kind of, you know, make sure things are under control as you begin to kind of expand rollouts or expand your mobile application initiative.
So, Oliver, if you had been given a chance from the get-go, would you really purposely take this on as something to be done in-house, or did you even consider outsourcing it?
No, I think it's important to keep in mind outsourcing is already depending on different dimension is in which industry you are in. Is the mobile business key differentiator? Is it key to your business? Is it part of the business strategy to fulfill certain direction? And in general, it's about time to market and ownership. So it really depends on where you are and what you want to achieve. But I agree with Gene, there are different levers or topics that you can get external help to accelerate. And I agree also with Gene that the whole telecommunication topic is critical because the majority of your total cost of ownership is telecommunication costs. Because the device from a purchasing per topic is manageable, but the ongoing data plans, and also if you have an international workforce traveling, the data roaming costs are a big driver in driving up cost. So that's something that transparency on the telecommunication costs and managing that, because in most of the cases, you don't replace laptops or only to certain topics, also netbooks. So it's becoming an additional spend for corporates. That's number one. Number two, also I agree with Gene that there are device lifecycle management tools out there that definitely I recommend to invest to use, because we will not stick looking at the tablets to one device, because there will be multiple choices. There will be more devices coming out that will help, and you can implement. You need those device management tools. You can develop this and implement it by yourself, or there are already partners out like carriers like Verizon that offer this kind of services. The third topic, which I would also concentrate, is because I said before, from simple to complex, required that you have to think about a mobile platform, kind of middleware, which is the hub and spoke between supporting multiple type of devices, and also in the future to make decouple that, and also to have the right connectivity to the different application backend systems, because that at the end will drive your application scenarios. Looking at that, it's important that you define it and utilize existing providers and bring this into your application strategy. And the last topic is there are providers like SAP. They have already the whole chain of mobile apps, the mobile platform, the middleware, and the connectivity to your existing systems in place, so that a rapid implementation can be done in a short period of time. And then it's up to the CIO to think about what else they want to develop by themselves or with a partner to fulfill the user's expectation.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back and look at the specific reasons why an organization may want to outsource versus keep it in-house. While there is no ready answer or there is no specific way, but is there a readiness check within the organization we can perform? Are there a set of parameters we can look at and say, you know what, it's not worth our time, let's outsource it? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.avol.com today. Avol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Avol delivers. To find out how Avol can help your company, visit www.avol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.avol, A-V-V-A-L, avol.com. Visit today.
Being here with Ariel and Shia Kane is an ordinary person's guide to modern-day enlightenment. This show is an exciting exploration which opens the door to living in the moment. Don't miss being here. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern with Ariel and Shia Kane right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
The Interstate Sportsman Talk Radio Show brings two well-known outdoorsmen to the Voice America Network with hunting and fishing info news, talking about everything from new sporting gear, places to hunt and fish, and getting more from your recreation time. Join hosts Brock Ray and Don Kirk Friday mornings at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, 9 Eastern, for the Interstate Sportsman on the Voice America channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Welcome back. So to get into the specifics of some people who may be on the crossroads of whether we should insource or outsource our mobility implementation, are there a set of diagnostic checks within the organization we can perform to see are we ready to take it on full time with already a very full plate and spilling over? That is like more the workload issue. Second is, do we have the type of people in-house who can really handle it, and is this something that we really want to take on? So Gene, if an organization were to take a blank sheet of paper and start writing a checklist, what do you think that should contain?
Well, I think the first thing is to kind of break out, like I talked about just previously, which is, you know, there are different elements when we're thinking about managing mobility. So let's take each of these discreetly first, because in most cases, it's not either an all or nothing thing, right? There may be some functions that you choose to outsource, and there may be some functions which are more core that you want to keep in-house. So, for example, something like telecom expense management for a lot of companies isn't necessarily a core strategic asset which they need to hold on to, right? And there are firms out there that do it quite effectively, right? And actually can commit to, you know, a level of cost saving, you know, upfront. And so things like telecom expense management and connectivity management, for example, might be areas where companies say, you know what, let's kind of hand these off to experts. We don't necessarily need to have a tremendous amount of staff to kind of manage all of this internally. You know, it's very kind of tedious, you know, work and detail-oriented work that we can have, you know, somebody do it better at scale. When we get to things more like mobile device management and security management, and then ultimately application management, those things become a little bit more core, particularly around the security management, application management standpoint, which is, hey, you know, we may work with a platform provider, right, who provides us with a mobile device management and security management platform. And maybe we even purchase that on a kind of a software as a service basis, right? You know, so a hosted basis. But we may want to handle those things internally or interact with that platform, you know, with our own internal resources, because, you know, we want to make sure that we're implementing the right policies and the right security policies, the right usage policies ourselves. And even on the application management side, again, it may be kind of a combination where we're relying on a third party who provides a platform and may even be kind of a hosted platform, but we're taking on kind of that development because we understand what the workflow requirements are, what the design requirements are from an application standpoint. So I think you've got the best checklist to go down is to kind of look at these discrete elements and look at how, you know, strategic each of these elements are to the business, and then making a determination whether it's A, completely outsourced, whether it's kind of, you know, completely insourced or there's a combination thereof.
So, Oliver, in your case, if I were to take the whole enterprise mobility and break it into five parts, it could have the strategy and governance, it could have the mobility portfolio management, where you're trying to look at what mobile devices, et cetera, that you have. Then you have the IT management component, which will require you to provision it. Then you have financial management, and you have then the mobile workforce enablement, so that they eventually start using it. Out of these five, which ones are core decision-making areas which you look at to say, I'm going to keep it in-house versus outsource?
Yeah, and again, my view is if this mobility business is absolutely critical for the success of your business, and working for SAP in a high-tech industry, and we believe that mobile business will expand our addressable market space, you have to look of those function, is it driving value and will help us to be successful in achieving our business targets, especially in the mobile enterprise business. So let's go through the five dimension. From a strategy and from a governance point of view, I'm speaking here from looking at SAP in-house, definitely something you want to keep in-house, because you have to drive what's your application, mobile application strategy, what's your infrastructure strategy, you know, from device agnostic lifecycle management, from simple to complex apps. Absolutely necessary that you keep this management in-house and driving that. Secondly, the whole portfolio management, because mobile apps are also part of our project portfolio now. And the lines of business requesting mobile apps in existing application projects and going forward. Therefore, the portfolio topic is something, from my point of view, critical that you drive with your own governance. On the financial side, the whole telecommunication topic, there's definitely you can rely on partners outside to help you to minimize your telecommunication costs, etc. That's something that I see as a commodity business that you can definitely rely on. On the mobile apps, on the IT perspective, on the mobile apps and mobile platform, again, if you believe that it will drive your business up and define a new blue ocean that nobody's in there, and you're going into that with your mobile apps, that's something you have to look at as definitely we see as a core business, but you can rely, like I do, on software providers like SAP or Sybase that you can get something out of the shelf and use this as a rapid start here. So again, it really depends, looking at the different dimensions, as you mentioned before, and see how important is the mobile business for you to drive business. If you say yes, then certain topics have to be in-house or core, because you need the experience, the learning curve. And we are just at the beginning of the learning curve, how you want to evolve your business and the use case scenarios going forward.
Very quickly, Gene, since you see the world out there, multiple organizations are trying to adopt, as well as the solutions that are being offered in this mobility space, especially in the outsourcing, do you think the vendors are doing justice to those solutions, so that if people really do not want to keep it outside, then, basically in-house, then they would rather outsource it, but they have a good solution to use?
Yeah, I think in general, yes. I mean, I think that, you know, the issue today with enterprise mobility is not around technology. I mean, there's plenty of technology out there. I mean, from devices to networks and to, you know, supporting, you know, software, whether that's application development platforms or, you know, management platforms, you know, there's plenty of technology and technology providers out there. I think if there's still a kind of challenge in the space is that it's not completely integrated yet. So, you know, I've talked about these kind of multiple components or multiple parts of kind of thinking about managing mobility. It's not a lot that's been kind of fully integrated. So in some cases, many cases are offered as kind of, component parts. So you can, you know, go to one provider for telecom expense management, another for mobile device management, another for kind of a mobile application platform. But we're starting to see, for example, operators. I think Oliver alluded to it earlier. Verizon, for example, is an example of an operator who's trying to pull all of these different components together. I mean, certainly AT&T is another example, has begun to pull multiple components together to make it easier for companies to engage with kind of one vendor who can supply kind of multiple areas of mobile management.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd really like to thank you, Oliver and Gene, for sharing your thoughts about how we could look at enterprise mobility and make a good and informed decision whether we should outsource it or not. Thank you. Now, if you have any questions, send us to views@ciotalkradio.com or views@ciotalkradio.com. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Next week, we will bring some more interesting topic. Please come back and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjog Gall next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.